On Sunday, February 5th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will present The Journey from Africa to the New World through Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and beyond. Presented by drummer, percussionist, composer, arranger, multi-Grammy nominee, and multicultural warrior educator, Bobby Sanabria. Join us as we help continue the work of WBAI. That's Sunday, February 5th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
We have a special presentation by Bobby Sanabria. Bobby Sanabria, among being a... Well, actually, here's the title of the presentation. It's The Journey, from Africa to the New World, through Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and beyond. And Bobby Sanabria is a drummer, among other things. He's a drummer, percussionist, composer, arranger, multicultural warrior, educator, and a person chock full of information. And I'm not going to delay that information. I'm going to give you a sample of the presentation so you will know what you will be getting. It's a three CD set of information from Bobby Sanabria and WBAI and Sugar in My Bowl and Joyce Jones and all the other folks who were involved, Hank Williams and Kazembe Balogun, who aren't here, but they help me out often with Sugar in My Bowl. And Claudia Copeland, too. Yes. The number you need to call for this 3-CD set is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Or you can go to give to, the number 2, wbai.org, and pledge for the item there. For the 3-CD set, for a pledge of $60, it can be yours, and it is definitely worth having. But, as I said, I am not going to torture you. You can hear a big chunk right now.
Hi, this is Bobby Sanabria, and welcome to The Journey. Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. The three Antilles, the three islands that have brought forth more music than any other group of islands in the Caribbean and have influenced the ethos of New York City. Brought to you by WBAI and Joyce Jones, I'm here to bring you on that journey. But to tell the real story, we have to go way, way back in time. Our story begins in the year 1415, when the Portuguese attack and capture the Moorish stronghold of Ceuta in North Africa. By 1435, they've conquered Senegal. 1443, Cape Bojodar. 1455, Guinea. And 1481, what we know as the Congo. These conditions led to the voyage of Columbus. Europe was in financial disarray. The two previous popes had drained France's economy. But there was a sense of discovery and expansion based on new scientific awareness during that time period. In 1472, a young Italian geographer tells Christopher Columbus, who has been studying navigation in Portugal, "The voyage you wish to take is not as difficult as people think. On the contrary, the ship's course is certain." And then finally in 1492, something momentous happens. Abu Abdullah, the last Moorish king of Granada, the last Muslim king of Spain, surrenders to Ferdinand and Isabella. Spain is finally united under one common doctrine and is poised to emulate the Portuguese expansionist movement. Finally, on October 12, 1492, the island that was known by the native Arawak people as Guanahani is landed upon by Columbus and his men. With him come what became known as conquistadores. These were men who were soldiers, and their fathers had been soldiers, and their grandfathers had been soldiers, and their great-grandfathers had been soldiers. These were men who had fought in the Muslim wars in España. So they were brutal when they came upon these islands. He quickly plants the flag on the beach, claims it the sovereign property of Spain, and changes the name to San Salvador. He proceeds to the islands of Cubanacan, the island of Cuba, and later Quisqueya, which the Spanish changed to Hispaniola. They both occupy later on the territories known as Haiti and the Dominican Republic. He mistakenly thinks that Cuba is the mainland of India, and thus Columbus, till his death, had this idea fixate, this fixation. On October 13, 1492, Columbus writes in his diaries, "I was attentive and took the trouble to see if there was gold." And on November 12, 1492, he writes this in his diaries, "There is in these lands a vast quantity of gold." Unfortunately, Columbus was wrong. That gold that he was seeking would later be found in the Aztec, Inca, and Maya empires in Central and South America. In 1493, on his second voyage, he returns with 1,500 men and 15 ships after exaggerating the claims of gold to be found to the Spanish rulers. He comes upon the island of Borinquen in 1493, which is the original Taino Indian name of Puerto Rico, and the rest of the archipelago and the coast of the U.S. He brings sugar cane from the Canary Islands off the coast of West Africa to Hispaniola, Jamaica, Cuba, and Borinquen. In 1495, Columbus engages in open warfare with the Carib Indians, one of the ethnic tribal groups that was to be found in the Caribbean along with the Arawaks and Tainos. In 1497, convicts are brought as laborers to the area. In 1499, Vasco da Gama rounds the Cape of Good Hope for Portugal and discovers the route to India. Columbus and his brother are arrested in Hispaniola and sent back to Spain. He is released, but he is humiliated, for he had claimed that there was a vast amount of gold to be found in the Caribbean. He was mistaken. In 1501, the King of Spain initiates the slave trade with a letter to the governor of Hispaniola. It was due to the second voyage that Columbus made in 1493, where on one of the ships, a young Catholic priest by the name of Bartolomé de las Casas would initiate a groundbreaking, historic, tragic move that would change the course of history. What Bartolomé de las Casas had initiated through his writings, in his diaries, petitioning the King and Queen of Spain, and also the Pope, was something monumental. It would change the course of history, and in effect, is responsible in many ways for all of the music that we hear today in the United States and in the Caribbean. Through these years, he had been documenting all of the atrocities committed by the Hidalgos, the noblemen, and the conquistadores, the soldiers, to the native Amerindian populations. All of these atrocities are annotated in his monumental work that survives to this day, called The Devastation of the West Indies. Infanticide, rape, pillaging, plundering were common, the burning of villages, similar to what would be known as strafing during the Vietnam era in the 1960s and early 70s. What was important was Bartolomé de las Casas, after reading a passage in the Bible about the sovereignty of man and woman, decided upon himself to save the native Arawak, Carib, and Taino population. And so, since the Portuguese had control of all of Western Central Africa, the Spanish could make a business deal with them to bring West Africans and Central Africans as slaves to this so-called New World. And so, through Bartolomé de las Casas, writing and having a meeting with the King and Queen of Spain, petitioning to the Pope in Rome, in 1501, the King of Spain initiates the slave trade with a letter to the governor of Hispaniola. Bartolomé de las Casas gave with one hand and took with the other, but the die was cast. Already the diseases that the Spaniards had brought over affected the Amerindian populations in an incredibly negative way. Most of them died off by the end of the 16th century. And so, by 1511, we get the first West Africans being brought to the island of not only Hispaniola, but also to the island of Cuba and Puerto Rico. Originally, in 1508, 50 Africans were brought to Hispaniola, the island that occupies the Dominican Republic and Haiti. But after this initial small group of West Africans being brought over as slaves, in 1511, slavery began in not only Cuba, but in Puerto Rico. By 1517, the first massive slave contracts known as asientos were formulated by the Spaniards. Initially, 4,000 blacks were brought to what became known as the West Indies over a period of 8 years. In 1523, 4,000 West Africans and Central Africans were brought into all of the Spanish dominions, 1,500 to Hispaniola, 500 to Borinquen, 300 to Cuba, and 300 to Jamaica. In 1528, 700 more West Africans were sent to the island of Cuba, and so on and so forth, until massive amounts of West and Central Africans were brought to the islands, predominantly the island of Cuba, as it became the dominatrix in the Caribbean, not only for its natural resources, but its incredible size, being the largest island in the Caribbean. The Spanish initiated an interesting set of standards in the Caribbean in their dominions. By Spanish law, West Africans had to learn about the Catholic Church. Hence, they had to learn how to read and write. Hence, by Spanish law, chapels were set up on all large slave plantations. Catholic priests were assigned, and their job was to convert these Western Central Africans to Christianity. The reasoning being that they would be loyal to the King and Queen of Spain. But they had also set up a scenario that was perfect for the West and Central Africans to relive their culture. And when we're talking about West and Central Africans, we're talking about three main groups. First, the Bantu Congolese, then Arara, that hail from Nigeria, as well as the Yoruba, and the Efik people from southern Nigeria. The Spanish set up what we call cabildos. These were ancient social clubs that had a hierarchy. They were mostly predominantly popular in southern Spain. The males belonged to. They set up the same hierarchy, in, particularly on the island of Cuba. These cabildos, in effect, provided stability, a chance for these West Africans to speak in their native tongues secretly. And for the Spaniards, it provided a way of teaching them Christianity on a mass level. But while they were listening to the ancient hymns and learning them of the Catholic Church, things like Dios te salve María, llena eres de bondad. They were also practicing their religions and speaking in their native tongues. So something like a phrase from the Efik language, like, Efia barako yereka mokongo machevere, in this house, I am the coolest, most elegant of chiefs, mokongo. Ache alafia onyi, the Yoruba phrase for peace and prosperity be unto you. These phrases, these words, became part and parcel of what we know today in Latin America as el cubaneo, the Cuban psyche, the Cuban ethos. So words like chévere, which is a word that's used throughout all of Latin America, is really an Efik word from southern Nigeria, which means elegant, cool, or down, became part of the Spanish language. Mambo, the Bantu Congolese word for a chant or song that repeats over and over again, became part of the everyday language of Cubans and then later on all of Latin America. Bongo, which later became bongo, the Efik word for drum. And many, many other phrases and words became part and parcel of colloquial Spanish, particularly on the island of Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. So, Africa lives not only in the drumming, in the music, obviously, that we hear today, but also in the words that we use colloquially in Spanish in the Caribbean. Let's give you an example of some of this culture in full force. We're going to listen to three things. First, from Congo culture, we're going to listen to the group Ekobio and Yenison singing an ancient Bantu Congolese ritual song known as Fun Funyando. After that, we'll listen to some Yoruba chants for Elegua, Ogun and Ochosi, which are known as the guerreros. These are the warriors that are sung in their complex religious belief system. They have many, many different deities. These three deities are sung to in the beginning of any ceremony.
Yo, Salam Aleku,
Aleku Sala.
Dice, tres personas distintas, un solo Dios.
Verdadero.
Santo Tomás.
Ve para ti.
Santo Tomás.
Ve para ti.
Dice, carajo, dice, ya la Congo. Dice, una mujer, carajo, Salam Aleku. Dice, mismo Congo, que ya te la Congo. Dice, mulato, nébola. Dice, ganga, carajo, la buena noche, mingo, saludando la tierra Congo, carajo. Dice, Salam Aleku.
Aleku Sala.
Dice, Dios, Ulamambe.
Yo.
Ulamambe.
Yo.
Yo fufuñando. Venga Congo y a Ramón la Congo. Venga Congo y a Juan Vera. Escucha cuento, lo saca el peño. Venga Congo, lo saca el peño. Una Congo, la buena noche.
212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. This is Sugar Mabol. You are listening to a presentation from Bobby Sanabria. And these are chants, as mentioned during the presentation. Stay tuned.
Listen to the song that bears the name of this group, Ekobio and Yeni Song. This is a song for the fraternal order of males in effete culture in Cuba, known as Abacua. It's a secret fraternity and also simultaneously a religion. Things representing the traditions from Western Central Africa as they were reborn on the island of Cuba. As the great Cuban ethnomusicologist Dr. Fernando Ortiz once said, when two cultures collide, a new one is created. And this was very much the case on all of the islands, but particularly on the island of Cuba. By the end of the 16th century, the beginning of the 17th century, the black population of Cuba outnumbered the Spanish population. Unfortunately for the Amerindian populations, the Caribs, the Taínos, and the Arawaks, most of them had died out, not only there, but on all the other islands as well.
All right. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. And you've been listening to a presentation by Bobby Sanabria. It's titled The Journey. It's a three CD set of information from Bobby Sanabria and WBAI. The number you need to call for this 3-CD set is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Or you can go to give to the number 2, wbai.org, and pledge for the item there for the 3-CD set for a pledge of $60.